walking miracle, my Lord. Mm. And they were blessed with it was their 40th anniversary, and their children paid for them to have a 9-day trip to Hawaii. They had a big celebration that Ty and her brother put on for them that we went to for their 40th anniversary, and then they presented them with that trip and stuff. I mean, it was like the food galore. I mean, I'm telling you, food galore. I mean, it was beautiful, just so nice. And so congratulations. Walking Miracle, you need to get your shirt, Walking Miracle. And people stop in action, you can share the gospel with them or encourage them, a Christian. You know, Christians need to be encouraged at times, huh? Amen. My Lord, what a God we serve. Thank you for sharing that. If you would, get your books, please. Thank you for the water, too. Appreciate it. Page 397, please. This is the scripture that we read earlier that it was on the back of the bulletin. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. Revelation is for babes. Then let's start it reading. The Bible plainly states that God will not reveal himself to the proud, the arrogant. The wise are those who deem themselves prudent. In fact, not only will God not reveal himself to a prideful individual, he will go even further to conceal things from this kind of person. The moment of revelation oftentimes comes after a great hurt, desperation, or loneliness. God always knows what we need and how to bring it to us. But God will hold back the information we need until we humble ourselves before him. Jesus said that God revealed himself only to babes. This has nothing to do with age, but much more to do with the attitude of our hearts. Those who are humble, those who are small in their own eyes, and those who have no faith in self are far more likely to receive insight and illumination relative to their situations. God will sometimes have to take us through the fire or nearly drown us in water before we embrace a proper attitude. Would it not be better if we simply lived with a low opinion of ourselves? Then we would always be ready to receive from God exactly what we need at any time given time on any given day. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to speak lowly of ourselves. That's not what he's saying. But when we think of too highly of ourselves, we should never let pride, arrogance, or any of those things enter our hearts. You know, we can be very proudful of many things, but God is looking to reveal himself. And sometimes tragedy or something will have, God will allow that to come to humble ourselves before him. And so we need to have an attitude of humbleness towards our God on a continuous basis. You see, I know I told you this before. We went to a church many, 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 many years ago, and it was a huge church. And, you know, church started, and we're there, Jelaine and I, and, we, you know, whatever. And the pastor and his wife, and not the pastor at that time, it was retired, whatever, and an entourage of people came in after them, walking in a straight line. And it's like, they almost to the attitude of, wait, church can't start without us. And it made me want to throw up, because that shouldn't be. We should never let that attack our hearts or let it penetrate our hearts, but we need to have a heart of gratitude, a heart of humbleness before our God, so that we can be humble towards one another and help and not be too proudful. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 30, which is page 1915. Thank you, Lord. I hope everybody had a great week. Thus, you know, last week, a great week. You starting out your week right in church. That's a great thing. I tell you. Great, great thing. It says, verse 30. We'll just read that one verse at this time. It says this, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Now, we know he's talking about Moses. Moses is a very important man as far as God wanting to use him. We know the backdrop of his life. We know he was born to Jewish parents. They hid him for 3 months, and after 3 months, they made a little boat type thing for him, put him in there, and put him on the Nile River, or the river there. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him because he was crying, opened it up, saw a baby, and lo and behold, she took the child and named him Moses because she drew him out of the water. And so, and she had him, she had her maids go and get a nurse for him, which was his mother. Isn't God good? People, when we think we're giving up something for the kingdom of God or for God, God will always add back unto us. Always, always. That's the kind of God he is to us. He always gives back more than we ever could imagine. But God called Moses to be the leader. But Moses made some mistakes, which led him to a place of seeking God for direction and help in a desert place. Because of the mistakes that he made, Moses fled from the land of Egypt after killing an Egyptian soldier. And he ends up in the desert plains there. And it says that he stayed there for 40 years in that desert place. He fled. You know, God called Moses. And just a reflection on that, there's a lot of callings upon your life as an individual. God calls you to do something. God calls you to go certain places. God calls you to speak his word. God calls you to do this. You know, just a matter of fact to you, it's not my job to grow this church. Is the Holy Spirit, because it says if we try to do it without him, our labor's in vain. But really, my job is to teach you the word and inspire you with the word. Your job is to preach the gospel out there and to grow the church. You know, many people ask, well, how your church is doing? I says, fine. You know, what you going to say? You know, you kind of like, oh, no, it's horrible. You know, what you going to, no. But you always say good because it is good what God has done and what God is doing. And, you know, and we thank God for it. But you see, Moses was called by God to be a leader of the children of Israel. And we know, you know, he went out and he killed this soldier, an Egyptian soldier. And he buried the body in sand. Now, do you think Moses was really thinking at that time? No. And that's just like us. Sometimes we go through life and maybe we don't think too much of what's going on in life. And I tell you, the enemy's out there trying to make us make some bad mistakes. The pressures of the world, you know, things are happening. But, you know, we got to stand firm and do what is right on a continuous basis, no matter what. And often, and here, that you know, he sees the next day two Hebrews, they call them, fighting. And he says, you know, y'all need to quit this, stop it. And they said, oh, what, you're going to kill us like you did the Egyptian soldier? And so, you know, it will be revealed no matter what. So you see, this is the deal. God expects us to humble ourselves before him. You might say, well, Pastor, am I going to be perfect? No. You will never be perfect. Now, that doesn't mean God is not continually working in our hearts and lives, and that's what he wants to do. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to clean us up, to get things out of us, to put things in, you know. We want God to be in us, in which he lives in us, as we received him as our Lord and Savior. But we need God to work in us and through us and to take those things out. I want you to turn to 2 John, if you would, chapter 1, verse 8, page 2177. Hallelujah. 2177. And we know Moses fled, and he just, because Pharaoh was after him. And so he fled to the desert place, not knowing where he was going to go. But always remember, God was with him. God was with us. Even when sometimes we may not make the right decision, God is still with us. He's still with us. Now, he may have to turn things around and we may have to get things corrected, but he's still with us. God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. My Lord, we need to put that in our hearts, put that in our spirits. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, God has to restore our hearts and lives. You know, God is in the business of restoration. You know, Psalms 51, and I know this is a scripture I saw this morning reading. Psalms 51, 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, O Lord, and uphold me with thy free spirit or with thy right hand. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation." Are you as joyful today as you were when you got saved? That first, when you initially said, "Father, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me." And you accepted him as Lord and Savior. Are you as joyful then as you are now? You know, the Bible talks about examining our hearts, examining what's on the inside of us. You know, that's why we do communion. It doesn't say how many times a year to do it. It doesn't say you to do it every week. It doesn't say that. It just says do it in remembrance of me. And the first part is to remember what Christ has done for us. But the second part is to us to examine to our hearts so that we look on the inside and see if there's any wicked way in us. You see, David needed to be restored. You know why? Because he had committed sin. We know it. He had done an awful thing in the sight of the Lord. He had a man killed and then he slept with the man's wife and then had a child. Now, how awful can you be? To me, the only worst thing would be if it was a child. You know what I'm saying? Molestation of some kind. That's horrible. I can't stand that. But he went to God and he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You see, we need to be restored. We need to look in our hearts and we need to really say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of whatever I was thinking that wasn't right. Forgive me for the evil in my heart, Lord. Forgive me for having that horrible attitude. Forgive me for having hatred towards my brother or my sister or anybody." Even though it could almost be the line of being legit, but God knows how hurtful it is to us. So, you know, the Bible says for us to examine our hearts, to look into our hearts and see if there's anything in us. You see, David needed to be restored. And David had the attitude of humbling himself before the Lord. I mean, look, for him to dance before the all of Israel as the ark of the Lord came into Jerusalem and his wife being embarrassed of him, but he didn't care. He danced before the Lord saying, "I will praise my God. I will honor him and give him praise." You see? See, we have to examine what's on the inside of us. When was the, and I don't, no answer, please. Because you never know. Somebody might blurt out something. I just want to make sure. When was the last time you examined your heart? And I'm not, you might say, "Well, this morning, thank you, Lord." You might say, "Last night, thank you, Lord." But when was the last time you said, "Lord, shine the light into my heart and see if there's any wicked way of evil in me, Lord"? You see, God wants to shine the light in us so that he can change us. So he, and you got it. So he can change us. You see, if we could do it ourselves, Jesus would not have had to come. But you see, we need the help of the Holy Ghost and we need God to move in us and through us. Look at this. 2 John 1:8 says, this is the scripture. It says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we had wrought, but that we receive a full reward." What he was saying, look to yourselves. He was saying, "Examine me, Lord. Examine me." That's what it means. Look to yourselves. Examine me, Lord. Lord, is there anything inside of my heart and life? See, Moses, for those 40 years, it's an amazing thing. You know, You can read. It says, 40 years he was a prince in Egypt. 40 years he was in the desert. God was training him. And for 40 years he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness. He lived 120 years. 40. My Lord, my Lord. 40 years of him examining his heart in that wilderness. He had to learn. He became a shepherd. Can you imagine? He was second, basically, in command almost. He was up there, if you want to say it that way. To go down to a desert land in Midian and become a shepherd. Now, I've never been a shepherd, so as far as with sheep, animal, live sheep. But they say that's one of the dirtiest animals as far as smelling and everything, whatever. But can you imagine? He learned how to treat people. He was a shepherd. God brought him out of being high up in the Egyptian house, brought him to a place of being in Midian, and God blessed him there. But he was a shepherd, and he learned how to take care of sheep, Because God would use him to be the mighty deliverer. And he had to learn the voice of the Lord. He had to be able to hear the voice of his God, Jehovah God. He had to be able to take care of the people and lead them in the right direction. You might say, well, Pastor, he made some mistakes. Yes, he did. But you see, God saw his heart. And God saw that Moses had a heart for him, And we know this. We don't know what day that God will come and be our attention getter. Ooh, my Lord, my Lord. We don't know that day. When you might say, what do you mean attention getter? Can you imagine being 40 years in Egypt, eating the best of everything, having the best life of everything, then going into a desert for another 40 years? He didn't know how long it would be. But in that desert and eating whatever is available. But you see, God was with him still. And he was learning the ways of the Father. And he had to examine his heart because God had chosen him to be the leader. You see, God chooses who leads and guides. God chooses the positions that are in a church. God is supposed to be the one that chooses, not man. Now you might say, well, God uses me. Yes, he does. He'll put it upon a pastor's heart and he'll be able to go and talk and do, and God will set things up. But you see, you have to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Ghost. How many times when we're so busy, we don't hear the voice of the Lord, huh? So tragedy comes, like tragedy came to Moses. And let me tell you something, tragedy is not easy. Tragedy is not easy. Who wants tragedy? Raise your hand. Nobody's right. Thank you. You're being truthful in church. Good job. Nobody wants tragedy of any kind. We want things to hum along and go well all the time. And that's, God said he'd prosper and he'd help us. But when things come, there's a reason why he allows it. That is to humble us and to examine our hearts before him. Moses had 40 years of examining his heart. Can you imagine the things he thought? I've blown it. Here he killed this Egyptian soldier and Pharaoh's after him. And he said, I've blown it. He had to forgive himself, first of all, because he blew it. He had to forgive whatever situations that were happening in his life. But I tell you, the torment of the enemy upon his mind. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been tormented by the enemy in the mind? My Lord. That's why the God says, get that word. Get that word. Psalms 51:12, when the enemy comes after you, saying, Father, you will restore my soul, Lord God. Lord, you are the great restorer. And quote that scripture back unto the Father. And you see, it says that the word of God becomes like a two-edged sword. It divides to the sunder of the spirit and soul. You see, we have to know the word. We have to study the word. We have to read the word. We got to get it in us somehow. Hey, put it on in your vehicle as you're driving. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of God. You see, we have churches now that say, don't even bring your Bibles because it makes too much noise. Flipping the pages. And hey, it's good to have it up there on the screen. But I tell you what, you need to have it in your lap to see it. That word is true. It's true what he's preaching. It's true what's happening. See, God is the great restorer. And here Moses had to examine his heart. He didn't know what God would do. He didn't know what would happen in that situation. And look, we don't know either. But I tell you what, every day we need to have a heart after God, people. A heart after him and him alone. We need to hunger and thirst for the things of the Lord. And let me tell you, if something happens and you disappoint your God and you disappoint yourself, you get on your knees or whatever you do and you get it right before him. Don't wait. Don't walk in guilt. Don't walk away. Don't walk around defeated. You get back on your feet and you say, Lord, forgive me. And help me to get through and do what is right, Lord. You see, he's the great restorer. David knew it, people. David knew. He knew the grace of God, even though he made some horrible choices. And we've all made horrible choices, but we all know the grace of God too, huh? The grace of God that comes in and says, hey, Joe, you can go on. You can make it. It can happen. You can do it. You see, God's looking at your heart. And then he gives us the ability to do what needs to be done. Look at this. Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 19:15. Oh, my Lord, his word is true, people. He restores our souls. He's a restorer. That's why I will never throw anybody away. No, now sometimes people throw themselves away and that's up to them. But I will never personally as a pastor throw anybody away because I know what God can do and what he wants to do. Look at verse 31 of Acts chapter 7, verse 31. When Moses saw it, he was talking about the bush. Remember, he's been out there for 40 days, and I know we know this story. He wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. Look, we'll stop right there just for a minute. Moses was doing what he was doing every day, tending to the sheep, taking care of things that needed to be taken, and God was blessing him. He knew in his heart he was supposed to be the deliverer. I wonder if he was thinking in his mind and heart that God chose someone else, my Lord. And that one day when he woke up from his sleep and he went out to do what needed to be done, it says that something caught his eye. Let me tell you this. Some things on our daily journey of life will catch our eyes. Don't just let it go. But if it catches your eye and you're drawn to it by the Spirit of the Lord, whatever, it might be a song. It might be a word from the Word of God. It could be what somebody says, you know, that just something leaps on the inside of you. People, that's the Spirit of the Lord. Don't ignore those things. See, we have to be in tune with the Spirit of the Lord that when he speaks or when he puts pressure upon our spirits and souls, that when something comes up, we know and we know what God is doing. Lord, I will obey. I will do. I will seek. I will do what you tell me to do. When he was doing the work of whatever he was doing with the sheep, it says that he turned and he saw that bush burning and he saw it. And you know what? Because of the heat in the desert, probably that wasn't no big deal, honestly. Bushes would catch on fire because of the heat. It was so hot that it would just burst into flames. But it wouldn't take long for it to burn out. But he saw the bush and it caught his eye, but he kept on doing what he was doing. And he looks again and he says, ooh, it's still burning. Now, I'm sure he didn't have a watch on. Or he couldn't go to his cell phone. Or he couldn't go home and say, what time is it? You know, whatever. You know, it's silly. But he knew it was burning longer than normal. And it caught his eye again. Now remember, did God speak to him as he was looking at it? No, not yet. God didn't speak to him till he turned and he went towards the bush. Oof. You should have shouted. He didn't speak to him till he turned and he started towards the bush. Let me tell you, sometimes God will give us an attention getter And he won't speak to us about the things we're praying about till we start moving towards him. Then he gives us the answer that we're seeking. It may not be the answer we want or the answer we desire, but as we are going towards him, he starts to speak to us. That's the kind of God we serve, people. Look at this. Let's finish reading verse 31 again. And when Moses saw it, the burning bush, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. And the voice of our God says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then said the Lord to him, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I've heard their groanings and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made you a ruler and judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out, and after that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Here we see the great deliverer, God, coming in, people. Look, I'm going to tell you this. God is depending on each and every one of you and I, myself included, to be the deliverer for some people. You might say, well, who? When you are, wherever you're at, and the Spirit of the Lord prompts you, share about me to them. You have become their great deliverer that God is using to speak through. Oh. And it's not up to you or I if they receive it. We don't like to be rejected. We fear man more than God sometimes, huh? What can man do unto us? We fear man sometimes. Don't fear what mankind can do. Fear the God in reverence towards him. But speak to the people, because God has called you to be that deliverer for them. They need to hear the truth of the gospel. They need to hear why Jesus came. We need to hear that. They need to hear that Jesus is the Messiah. He is God. He is Lord. And he died on the cross for them because he loves them. And that they don't have to live in chains of bondage. Sometimes I think I'm talking about the body of Christ is more in bondage now than ever before. We don't have to live in bondage of any kind. We don't have to be a slave. And you and I don't have to be a slave to any sin of evil upon this earth. Zero. Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, that he can break the chains of bondage, because all we have done is put our faith, our trust in him and in the word of God like never before. That what Jesus did paid the price on Calvary's cross. He paid the price for us, and we keep in our faith in him no matter what. Not faith in man, not faith in a religion, not faith in anyone, but Jesus Christ and what he did. He's the only one that deserves it. Every day I'll say, Lord, I put my faith and my trust in you and what Jesus has done for me at Calvary's cross. I make it known to myself, and I make it known to the enemy if he wants to hear it. I don't talk to the enemy. I don't spend time with him at all. Zero. Zero. I just bind him in the name of Jesus, because God has given us the victory and the power. We don't have to walk around defeated. God says we are a victorious church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We are victorious in him because Jesus is our leader. We just put our faith and our trust in him, and we know that he is in control of all things in our hearts and in our lives, and he will help us to overcome those things that need to be overcome in our lives. He'll break the chains of bondage. He'll untie it and unloosen it from us. God says to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. Do an evaluation of this week. What did you think about? And I'm not trying to be, I'm talking about me too. What did we think about, people? Because you see, as a man thinks in his mind, it drops down to the heart, the spirit man. And so we have been bought with a price, people. And so we got to make sure that what we think, which we know is the word of God, we got to put that word in it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know, just hearing that word places it deep within our spirit. Examine our hearts. You examine your own heart. I examine my heart. And when we do that, God is lifted up and victory's in the house. My Lord. Oh, my Lord. Think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, and of good report, people. That's what we want. Because you see, if you're defeated here, you'll be defeated here, and you'll be defeated in your fleshly life. But that's not what God says we are. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. He paid the price for every one of us. We're new. We're new. He gave his life for us. We're new creations. We're not the same anymore. Our desires are different. Our outlook on life is different. As we read this word, we find out things about God. We find out the things about the future. What's going to happen? But God gives life to us, his people, that we look to him. And as Moses looked to that bush, God spoke to him out of the bush. My Lord, my Lord. He said, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. My Lord, my Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, that's holy ground, people. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. God just doesn't throw his words around like zero. He gives it to his people. Examine your heart and see if there is any wicked way. And you might say, well, Pastor, what do I do after that? You give it to the Lord. And you say, Father, I trust you. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, my faith is in you and you alone, Father. I have this anger issue. Lord, help me. I have this unforgiveness issue. Lord, help me. I have this pride and arrogance issue. Lord, help me. And you give it and you do it and you put it under the blood. And I'm telling you, the shackles are starting to break. And they will break. What I would do, if I were you, ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to show us anything in our hearts that need to change. Now, you better be ready. But remember this, he loves you. He's not going to show you so that you get mad at him. He wants to show you because you're asking. And the closer you get to the fire, the more you can see, the more you want him to reveal. But ask him to show you areas that need to change. And you write them down, and it's only for your eyes, no one else's. Not for your spouse, not for your children, not for me. I don't want to see it. None of that stuff. And you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, you see all these things, but Father, I put my faith in you that you're going to break the chains of bondage off of my life in those areas. He loves us so much, people. Isn't it better for us to examine our own hearts than somebody else to examine us? Because we know if we examine our own hearts and the Holy Spirit is doing it, that we're going to have mercy from God. And that's a great thing. You know, the Bible says for us to love one another. Well, I've been reading 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. If you have problems loving people, read it. I'm not trying to be, somebody laughed. I'm not trying to be, but you have a problem. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's difficult to love some people. Huh? It is. But I tell you what, as you read it, you say, Lord, touch my heart. See that, you know, the Bible says, that's how they will know you are my disciples, because of your love one towards them. That doesn't mean we accept everything somebody does, you know, but that we don't let it hinder us in our relationship to him, but we love them. See, Jesus loved us in spite of our sin. He loved us no matter. Jesus died on the cross even though we were in sin to deliver us out of sin. Oh, that's big, people. That's big. And only he could do it. Because you know what? They had killed so many sheep, so many oxen, so many. I mean, there was so much blood as they would kill to cover their sins. And God only let that happen till Jesus came to cover the sins of the people so he could bless Israel. So that it was like, you know, a carpet